Hi, I'm Dr. Barry Holzer.
And I'm Hani Holzer.
And welcome again to Parent is a Verb on OUradio.org. Today, we want to talk about children and the media, specifically the impact of television, especially violence and sexuality on television, to children and how it impacts and affects them.
I think, you know, we're in a relatively new world of television and media. I remember growing up and really growing up on television, literally, and figuring out my homework schedule and how I was going to do my homework based on what was on television on any particular night. But we grew up on shows like My Three Sons, Father Knows Best,
Star Trek,
I Dream of Jeannie.
Well, that was already more risque, I Dream of Jeannie, because, you know, actually, on I Dream of Jeannie, her outfit caused the whole issue because whether they were allowed to show her belly button or not, and they were not. And that really gets the whole issue of what our kids watch on television, how television has changed over the years. And television, certainly from the 1950s, when, you know, Leave It to Beaver and the Mickey Mouse Club were important shows, to now in this century, when kids are watching television that has a significantly increased amount of violence, of sexuality, and the gradual deterioration in standards, not just in, you know, in how people dress, but the level of violence.
The frequency of violence, you know, it's not just people punching each other on television anymore. There's a lot of use of weaponry. There's a lot of graphic depiction.
Right. A number of studies have pointed out that if you just contrast, let's say, 1998 to, I think, 2002, 2003, the number of violent episodes has increased dramatically, as well as the type of violence. Whereas even back in the 90s, we were talking about violent episodes that might involve fist fights and, you know, people hitting each other. You know, the percent of violence that now involves guns and murder is much increased.
And really very, very graphic depictions of mutilation and, you know, body parts, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, one recent review figured out that if you added up the average child who has seen 100,000 acts of violence by the time they leave elementary school on television, and including 8,000 murders. So we're talking about a huge amount of violence that our kids really are exposed to.
Well, I think also one of the things that we're talking about is that the media used to have a much healthier respect for the American family, which family values. And that seems to not be existent anymore.
I think that's a big problem, because what's frightening is that it's become normative on television to have divorced parents, to have premarital sex, to have a gay lifestyle, for people to get drunk and to get violent.
For people to hurt each other and to gossip about each other, to gang up on each other, to bully each other.
And to really be so self-involved and self-promoting at the expense of others.
Also, not to mention the fact that when was the last time you saw a, quote, family show where the parents had any respect or were acknowledged as perhaps knowing more than the children? Usually, parents are ridiculed and shamed and not respected at all.
It's interesting, because even in a study asking kids about TV and, you know, the impact of television, 65% said that shows like The Simpsons and Married Children encouraged kids to disrespect their parents. So that even the kids themselves recognize the impact that television is having on them, maybe more than we do.
Not only does that filter into the parent-child relationship, but what I'm noticing and hearing more and more in my office, and even from, you know, people on the street, let's call them teachers, is that kids really don't have an understanding of that there is a difference between them and the adult. You know, they speak to the adult as if you know, the adult was one of them, one of the kids.
Right. We have talked in one of these programs about the whole idea of boundaries and the importance of respect in the family. And clearly, in most television, that doesn't really exist anymore. Whereas when we grew up in Father Knows Best and My Three Sons,
just
that was
just the title of the show, Father Knows Best. That was already telling you that, you know, that father was always, the, you know, was always there to solve the problem, to give the good advice, to be the sage adult in the family.
I mean, the impact here is so great because the average child watches 4 hours of television a day.
Some says that 25 hours a week, that's, they're engaged in watching television more than they are engaged in just about any other activity except for sleep.
Correct. And more than half the kids in this country have televisions in their bedrooms, something which I don't understand at all, because it is very difficult to monitor something that a kid has in their own bedroom. And one of the things we have talked about today is how we monitor and how we deal with the television. In fact, many kids will tell you, in one study, 44%, that they watch something different when they're with their parents than when they're not with their parents. They don't want their parents to know what they're watching.
No, and that's of real concern, because how do you monitor that, and how do you take care of, and how do you foster, let's just say, good television habits, if there is such a thing as good television habits?
Right. The concerns, certainly in terms of the violence, is that kids themselves realize that witnessing repeated acts of violence, right, desensitizes them. So there are a number of issues that develop because of this.
Right. Well, one of the things that, you know, we've read in the studies and that we know from working with kids is that they have a very hard time discriminating between reality and fantasy. So with especially younger viewers, what they see on television, you know, the violence, the fighting, they can't discriminate or distinguish between whether that's real or fantasy. And then they're going back out into their playground at school. Okay, they don't have a gun, hopefully, but the way they interact with their peers, is a lot more violent, a lot more aggressive than it might be if they weren't watching television or if they were watching something less violent.
Right. One study published in Science magazine found that teenagers with the, you know, average age of 14, who, you know, watching more than 3 hours a day of television, were much more likely than those who watched less than 1 hour a day of television to commit acts of aggression against other people. This is a study out of Columbia University. And they looked at 700 boys and girls for 17 years. This is a long-term study and really adjusted for, you know, all variables. And clearly television, taken out as its own variable, you know, had a huge correlation with aggressive acts. And apparently that at age 14, males appear to be more vulnerable than females to acting out after viewing excessive television. But at the age of 22, the females became more affected by television if they viewed it, again, extensively. We're talking about viewing over 3 hours a day, which was their extensive viewing. You know, the problem being because that the average hour of television viewing has 4 to 5 acts of violence. And so we're talking about this huge amount of violence that kids are watching and that it really does impact them. And the problems are that they become too immune or numb to the horror of violence. They accept violence as a way of solving problems. They imitate the violence they observe on television. And they can identify with some of the characters and or the victims, the aggressors and or the victims of the violence. So there are many different aspects of this violence. But the main thing is that there are countless examples of kids who just copy what they see on TV.
Even, the horrible acts of violence like Columbine, for instance. The studies, you know, when studying that event, it was found that what happened in that school very much mimicked and imitated what those young men had been doing with their video games, which is another form of media. So there is a direct correlation between what children are seeing and what they're acting out.
And video games is a whole nother area that probably needs another whole show on it just to explore, because I think most parents aren't aware of what their kids are doing with their video games or what's on the video games. And Grand Theft Auto has been, you know, is synonymous with the violence and, you know, sort of glorifying criminal activity. And millions of teenagers are playing it.
I mean, really, a lot of what's being portrayed is speaking to the darker side of the human condition and not at all addressing or speaking to the more elevated side of a person and the more decent side of human beings. That's not being portrayed frequently, maybe that's not selling. I don't know. Maybe that's why it's not being portrayed.
Now, the whole other issue in terms of sexuality on TV, there's a RAND health study that came out with some fascinating and scary conclusions. Basically, that across all age groups, teens who saw the most sex on television were twice as likely to initiate intercourse within the next year as those who saw the least amount of sex on television. And with sex on TV becoming so common, what people don't realize is that ABC's Desperate Housewives is the most popular broadcast network television show with kids aged 9 to 12, according to Nielsen.
We're talking about probably one of the most perverted shows depicting Americana being the most commonly watched show amongst 9 to 12-year-olds. That's frightening.
Yes. And we're talking about a show that has probably above the average of 4 to 5 sexual, implications or acts during each show.
It's not just implications, it's direct, it's acts.
Right.
If it were just implications?
Right. I mean, in one study in late 2005, that came out just a few years ago, scrutinizing over 1,000 shows, they found 4,000 scenes had sexual content. Compared, by the way, with 2,000 5 years earlier. So that the amount of sexual contact on TV has doubled between 1998 and 2005. It's certainly only getting worse. It's not getting better.
And it seems also that any kind of marital stability or family stability and family health and marital health are not being portrayed on television. I can't think of one show, not that I'm the most well-versed person in television, that promotes or portrays that as a viable model.
And unfortunately, television keeps serving this up and keeps portraying this as the norm in our society. And the more bizarre or perverse, the better. I remember when I spoke at least 10 years ago, probably more, about television. It had to be more because I think one of the shows I was talking about then was
Beverly Hills 90210, right?
Which is now making a comeback a couple of decades later. And that show, which was extremely popular at the time, that even their supposedly moral messages where, you know, some kid had alcoholism and they were getting help or, you know, trying to address, you know, talk about that issue. Meanwhile, this kid with alcoholism was, sleeping with this other high school girl on the show. The amount of sexuality and the pervasiveness and the acceptance of it and the normalizing of this really, you know, has a huge impact on society.
It also, I mean, it really has eroded the sensibilities around what's good, what's moral, what's ethical, and what's normal.
And teenagers themselves recognize that the impact of this amount of sexuality, that it really encourages, you know, and puts sort of more of a pressure on them.
Right. Well, but I had an interesting opportunity this past spring to speak to a group of high school girls in a modern Orthodox high school about sexuality and their views on sexuality. And it was interesting to see that group of girls, while they had a lot more information because of the television shows they watched, they still saw it as somewhat foreign. But there were things that they were engaged in that they felt were, well, you know, everybody's doing that. Well, everybody's doing that because is everybody really doing that, or is that just what's being portrayed as what everybody's doing? And it was a question that led to a lot of discussion.
The problem is that sexual content is in most shows, and as noted, it's, you know, repeatedly in the shows that have it. And, you know, there is much talk about sex, about sexual acts that happen, that will happen, and so forth. And back in 2002 already, one out of every seven programs included a portrayal of sexual intercourse. And what's interesting is that 77% of teenagers in a poll said that there's too much sex before marriage on television. There's a feeling that sex on television and movies influences kids to have sex when they're too young. And the fact is that about half of the kids in this country in high school are sexually or have been sexually active. And the problem being is that one in four of those will have a sexually transmitted disease. And moreover, most of them feel they started too early. The concept that we have of this concept of kedusha, of that intimacy between man and woman has a very sanctified special role, doesn't exist in our modern culture and certainly has never seemed to be portrayed on television anymore. The concept of a sanctity in marriage altogether seems to be lost.
So when we invite the media into our house on a regular basis and we allow them to come into our, we allow all of that in our houses, we're really fighting an uphill battle. And we're setting before our children, even though, you know, let's just say we feel, well, it's so foreign, how could the kids ever think that that's normative? Why would we want to necessarily overexpose them to things that are so not in the context of the values that we want to teach them?
Now, accepting the fact that kids will have the values, hopefully, that their parents teach them, and not necessarily pick up the values that are around them. But when you're bombarded by things over and over and over again, they seem to become acceptable.
Right, well, I think that to me this goes back to, you know, the tragedy that was 9/11, when the picture on the television screen over and over and over again were those planes hitting those buildings and what the impact that had on people. And how possibly, even if we're instilling good moral values, healthy values within our children, the impact that their viewing has upon them and the battles that they must have internally within themselves because of what they're exposed to versus what we're trying to teach them seems like a huge struggle.
Yeah, I think it is. And I mean, it brings up another whole aspect of television, which is television news. And the fact, one study pointed out that whereas over the past decade, violence in society has actually decreased, crime has gone down, the depiction of crime on the local news has increased by 240%. And that local news shows generally lead off with breaking through reports about, you know, some crime. And that always seems to be on the news every single day. Crime seems to, you know, seems to
pervade.
Yes. And it's very hard to avoid it. And it creates a lot of anxiety, especially for younger children.
Well, the rule that we have in our house, which, you know, I came up with many years ago, was that we certainly don't watch the evening news, not at 6 o'clock. And certainly not at 11 o'clock, because who wants to go to sleep with that kind of dust on your brain and, you know, that kind of mood having been set? And quite frankly, I don't think we watch any news television anymore unless it's some unbelievable, you know, out of the ordinary kind of story, because the images are just so strong and so unpleasant. And it's not that we don't know what's going on in the world, but when you read a newspaper, you can pick and choose, and you don't have to keep holding a picture up in your face. If you choose not to view the picture, you can just read what the story is about. It's very different than having that literally in your face.
So what do we do? We've talked now about the fact that television increases aggressive behavior, desensitizes to violence, increases fear, both in the aggression on TV and in the news on television, that it seems to normalize inappropriate and aberrant sexual and interpersonal behavior. It takes the family values, as you pointed out, that we have and sort of loses them. What can parents do then when their kids are watching TV, all the kids' friends do watch TV? How do we deal with that?
Well, I think, you know, for some people, the solution is extremely simple and extremely clear, and that's get rid of the television completely. And a lot of people have done that, not even people who are for religious reasons, just because the messages are so poor and so hurtful in the long haul to families and to children that people have just gotten rid of their televisions. That has never been my choice per se, but I think it's a lot about parent involvement in television, in choosing what's going to be watched, in talking and being involved in what's being watched, and not having the children just watch by themselves and never addressing
that.
Let's
go through this one step at a time, because I think it's important for people to really have a clear idea of what they can and should be doing. So, number one, you have to pay attention to what your kids are watching. Ideally, to watch shows with them and really know what the shows are about and see if you feel they're appropriate. And don't be afraid to say, no, that show is not appropriate for me or for you.
Right. If there is a show that you need, that you feel as the adult that you want to watch or that you find entertaining, you can TiVo it. You can put your kids to bed and then watch the show, but you don't have to have it playing while they're around if that's not something that you want them exposed to.
But knowing what they're watching and spending time with them, paying attention to know what they're watching, and then setting limits on the amount of time they can spend watching TV. For many people, that means no TV during the week because it's a school night. And very often, it's hard to get kids away from the TV once they're watching already.
Well, I think sometimes being able to use television as a reward for work that's been accomplished and done, or, you know, a good track record in school, you know, 90 and above on all tests, or whatever the magic number would be for that child, if it's realistic for them to get above X grade. Well, you've been doing that, so, you know, yes, then television could be used as a reward. I also, by the way, for preschoolers, do not recommend starting the day off in front of the television set before they go to school, because I just think it's sedative and is not a good way to get their minds going in the morning. And there's probably a lot better way to have them start their day by interacting with a parent, by playing with toys, by being curious about the world around them, as opposed to just zoning out in front of the television before they leave for carpool.
Right. I think we have to realize that the television really shuts down parts of the brain. It's not interactive. You're not in a dialogue. It doesn't develop social skills. And it generally doesn't develop academic or intellectual skills.
Or creative skills.
Even reading just fun books and novels, you know, you're using your imagination. You're taking the words and creating pictures in your head. Television does it all for you. It doesn't require much of your own input.
I think using television well, like, for instance, having, you know, a Saturday night movie night at home with the family could be a very nice experience, so that if you're watching a program or you're watching a movie that's age appropriate for the group, then there are opportunities to talk about it. You're sitting together. You're bonding. That could be a very different experience than just parking little people in front of a television as, you know, a babysitting mechanism.
It is hard sometimes, but actively involving your kid in activity, very often if you spend a few minutes really getting them engaged, you can do other things while they're doing that activity. And it doesn't always have to be the television that keeps them busy, even though that's often the easiest. you know, in terms of television violence, I think that pointing out that the violence is not real, talking about
yes,
the difference
absolutely.
Between whether it's cartoon violence or it's an actual stunt people and special effects, talking about the violence that's not real. But in the TV news, when we're talking about real violence, letting them talk about their realization, you know, how they feel about the violence, reassuring them, making sure that you're not creating, you know, a lot of anxiety for them, and letting them talk about the anxiety they might feel.
Again, I'm, you know, this is my own bias, but when it comes to news media, I don't think children need to be exposed to that almost at all. I don't think that's necessary, unless there's some really special show or segment on a news program about something they might be learning in school. And I think, well, I don't want to bash television completely, because there are some wonderful channels on television that I think can be incredibly edifying and interesting, and that people, even children, or especially children, would want to watch. And things, the History Channel does some wonderful things on television. Even sometimes, you know, how things are made is just a wonderful way to, you know, spend some time in front of the television.
Right. I mean, there are great things on Discovery Channel and science. There's even, you know, even on the HGTV about the homes, there's so much nice, creative, fun things that, you know, people really enjoy. So that it's not all bad, mm-hmm. but unfortunately, television that's made just for the ratings and really trying to outdo each other really is trying to appeal to our basest side and not to our best side. But you have a right to say, you know, no, I don't like this show. It's not appropriate. It's too violent.
Right. And I don't care that everyone in school is watching it. This is not what we watch.
Right. And if there is a lot of peer pressure, then I think we owe it to yourself and your child to talk to the other parents, discuss it, and see how many other parents know what their kids are watching and are approve of it. Tell the other parents, this is what they all talk about in school. This is what your kids are watching. Why don't you watch it with them, and let's talk about it next week.
Right, but there's also that clever little game that children sometimes play where they say, everybody's watching it. Everyone's going to that movie. And if you make a phone call or two, you find out that, no, nobody's really going, and nobody's parents really want them watching that or are letting them go to that movie or watch that television show.
And I think in terms of dealing with sexuality on TV, again, sitting with your kids, watching with them, I think there are a lot of shows on TV that just are not appropriate for anybody, certainly not in a Jewish home. And it's not even a matter that it's okay for adults. I've told the kids, you can't watch that show because I can't watch that show.
Right.
And so if it's not okay for me, it's certainly not okay for you.
Again, it's really okay to make the decision, set the limits. And if there are things that are watched on TV, certainly that is discussion worthy. What did you think when that character on the show, you know, did such and such to her best friend? Is that something that you agree with? Do you think that was the best way to handle it? Is there another way to handle that situation? Making opportunities occur from shows that you're going to watch is a nice thing to do also.
I think we have to use it as a springboard to learn from. But I think you're right. Things like problem solving and dealing with social situations, television unfortunately does not do very effectively anymore. And I think it's done a better job in the past. And I think hopefully it can do better jobs, you know, if we choose carefully, then, you know, we can really help television be a positive influence in our kids' lives.
Or as positive as possible, as opposed to being, you know, a train running out of control over, washing over our children's minds endlessly, aimlessly.
I think the bottom line message is get involved, stay involved, set limits, know what your kids are watching, spend time with them doing it, and talk to them about it, and discuss the things that you find as questionable or have possible issues.
And again, I think limiting it is a good idea also.
Right. The key is really, you know, the easiest way is, especially weeknights, to limit television to either zero or at most a half hour to an hour, and, you know, on weekends to really limit. Kids could, you know, kids watching one or two shows a week should be plenty. There's much more productive things and beneficial things they can do with their time. Thank you for tuning in today for Parent is a Verb on OUradio.org. If you have any questions or comments, please send them to parentisaverb@ou.org. Thank you, and have a good day.